Howdy, howdy, howdy once again, my friends. George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio on this Wednesday, February the 4th, 2026. I want to welcome everyone once again to our show. We've got a good friend of ours, Mr. Dennis Casillas, who is a former deputy sheriff here in San Antonio, as well as has some pretty strong credentials in law enforcement. We wanted to get him on to chat regarding the situation that we've got going with local law enforcement, particularly the sheriff's department. Dennis, thank you for taking time to be with us. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you for having me, George.
Dennis, once again, remind the folks a little bit about your background in law enforcement.
All right. I started my law enforcement career back in 1983, April. I served 37 years at the Bexar County Sheriff's Office, starting from the ground up as a detention officer, doing 6 years, 4 years as a patrolman, 4 years as a detective, 8 years as a sergeant, 12 years as a lieutenant in the law enforcement side, as well as a sergeant. And 3 years and 3 months as a deputy chief under the current sheriff, Javier Salazar.
Which is, all right, since we've hit on Mr. Salazar, on the Sheriff Salazar, he has been quite a controversial figure. I was giving a hard time to a friend of mine the other day at his birthday party, and I asked him if he was going to ask the Sheriff Salazar if he was going to come and sing for us. That's an inside joke, folks. The sheriff has been serenading folks at a local restaurant lately. However, there are some big concerns about the operation of the Bexar County Jail and the use of funds for working on gang task force, as well as the overall morale that's going on with the department, with the sheriff's department. What can you tell us, Dennis? Give us your assessment, since you've worked for so long with the sheriff's department. What are your assessments?
Well, to start out with, out of the seven sheriffs that I served under, which two of them were Republicans and the other five were Democrats, Javier Salazar is by far the worst sheriff I ever served under. I took a deputy chief's position thinking that it was going to be different, and it wasn't. My first 2 years as a deputy chief under him were in the strategic operations division, which I had all the tactical side of the sheriff's office. As a chief, I had numerous units underneath me, and in January of 2017, Chief McManus was putting together a violent crimes task force, and I was overseeing that with my street crimes unit, which is basically a gang unit. We worked together, was hand in hand with the city, and Captain Sapansky at SAPD was the point of contact there, and we had a very good relationship and statistics between the two agencies, at which DPS ended up joining our organization. During that time period, I was over the tag unit that we were invited to become a part of, and I had my street crimes unit relocated to the tag office. And the tag office is the Texas Anti-Gang Network. It's supposed to be going after transnational and local gang members here in Bexar County and San Antonio. We were doing a good job there. San Antonio PD was also administering a grant that comes from the state, and we had plenty of office space out there, and the city left the grant there, and DPS came over and took over the grant. And shortly after Joe Biden won election, DPS had to be pulled from their office and go down to the border for the crisis that was going on down there. So there was some vacant space left there, and Salazar did away with several units at the sheriff's office that caused another chief to leave, of which he's had probably 12 of his direct chiefs leave, where the past six sheriffs only had five over 34 years. The sheriff current sheriff, Salazar, has lost 12. That says a lot about his management skills and his inability to manage his personnel and take advice from his chiefs. This gang unit, again, is supposed to be targeting transnational gangs like TDA, MS-13, and local gangs. The sheriff has not fulfilled that obligation and has occupied this tag office space for his so-called organized crime unit, which does nothing to do to address the gang problem here in town. He has failed with 60 plus officers to assist the federal agencies, to include Homeland Security investigations and ICE, in apprehending these violent criminals, aliens that are here. I think it's a disservice to the taxpayers that he's out singing and serenading people and in restaurants when he should be focusing on public safety.
This situation with money being left and not used, as well as the use of personnel staff, this situation, I mean, he seems to have a very, very good relationship with the local liberal news media, because they never investigate him. I don't think they ever ask him hard questions.
No, they don't. He pretty much will have the local media in his pocket. They're afraid to report on him because he'll cut them off of any stories. I've seen that throughout the years. I went ahead and retired because he asked me to violate my oath, and I refused to do so. And that was at a staff meeting that he confronted after I had been moved to the patrol division, West Patrol. He addressed me and the East Patrol chief that he better not hear on the police radio any patrolman turning over undocumented immigrants to Border Patrol. Well, that's our job. That's our sworn oath. We swore an oath to uphold the laws of the state of Texas and the United States of America. That includes immigration law. For him to ask us to violate our oaths is just totally unethical. He is not a law enforcement officer. He's a politician. He's a political hack at best. And he cares nothing about public safety. He comes on TV when it's a good story, and he hides from TV cameras when it's a bad story. So definitely it's a disservice to the taxpayers of Bexar County. He's spent over $122 million on overtime. That's above and beyond our budget of approximately $157 million a year. He has to go back to commissioner's court and ask for it because his morale is so low in the jail, the lowest I've seen in the 37 years that I was there when I left in 2020. It's even lower now. He's had 1,611 officers as of January of last year. January of 2025, 1,611 officers have left the agency in the jail. How do I know that? I have statistics from the Texas Commission on Jail Standards. So he has approximately about 170 to 175% turnover at the jail. How does that affect the taxpayers? Well, they have to pay each time a cadet has to go to the academy. So you're losing officers faster than they're coming in. If you notice lately, on almost every major intersection, he has signs of posted that they're hiring. He can't hire because the morale is so low and people aren't going to go work for somebody like him.
This situation with the federal agencies working in cooperation with the Bexar County deputies, we are located close to the border. We had over 600,000 illegal aliens move through the area because we had the migrant center here during the Biden administration. I would assume that there are a lot of illegal activities, internationally illegal activities that are going on in our county.
Absolutely. And the one thing that's that public safety wise, he's short staffing all these units for this super secret organized crime unit that he has currently occupying space that he's not fulfilling his obligation to the tag. Salazar has a population here in Bexar County of approximately 1.9 million, and he's got 60 officers in this organized crime unit that are having their hands tied because they can't go out and do the job that they were supposed to be doing, because Salazar is afraid against going against his liberal base and arresting gang members, illegal aliens. I call them illegal aliens. He calls them undocumented immigrants. I figure they wanted to be documented, they'd come the right way. But he's refusing, and I'm sure he probably told Tom Holman at the sheriff's convention up in Washington that he doesn't have the personnel to assist ICE down here in Homeland Security when he's got 60 officers sitting in an office that's funded by the state to target transnational gangs and gang members. If we look at all the recent headlines and videos of TDA being taken down on San Pedro and Bassey, I think it was like 115 members. Where was Salazar? Where was his tag unit at that point in time? Mm-hmm. He ducks and hides.
What about the issue of overtime and the amount of money that he uses up with his staff, with the deputy?
Okay, while I was there as a chief, I saw him and his chief deputy, James Serrato, manipulating the budget. And as Serrato called it, robbing Peter to pay Paul. So what they would do was on overtime, especially for law enforcement, because at the time they only had $30,000 per year, and that would be burned up in the first major case that we had. But they would take money from one budget, say the training budget. James Serrato, the chief deputy, liked targeting the fuel budget. And he used to tell the classes, the in-service classes, that he would take from the fuel budget because the county would never let us run out of gas. So what they were doing was moving funds from the fuel budget over to help pay overtime for patrolmen, to help pay overtime for CID, for warrant section. So, you know, they manipulated the budget and basically, like he said, robbed Peter to pay Paul. So the budgets that were hit were the education and training budget, the technology budgets, all of them were hit. An example was in the 2023-2024 budget for patrol. That takes effect in October of 2023. By December of 2023, the patrol budget was expired. They had no money for the next 10 months, basically. So they had to rob from other budgets and take from other budgets to keep patrol funded and going. They had no money for toilet paper at the substation. They had no money for copier paper. My understanding, they were behind on payments for the copiers. So it's been totally mismanaged by Javier Salazar and his command staff. And losing so many chiefs, they were the chiefs that left. And he'll claim that he fired some and he did this and that. But I saw right through it. He is not a good administrator. He doesn't take advice like he said he wanted to when he took office, that he was going to depend on us with all our years of experience there and, you know, to get him through it. But that only lasted about a year, and he started moving to terminate chiefs that did things that went against the grain.
My gosh. We're gonna conclude, Dennis. We're gonna let you go, but the information that you've given us is tremendous. I mean, this is really this impacts on our community, folks. This is our public safety that is being played with. And Dennis, is there anything else that you want to add before we let you go, buddy?
Well, one thing that he's shorting on, especially in the 20, when I was still over strategic ops, on the 2018-19 budget, he was budgeted for 10 additional officers for SWAT to make a full-time SWAT team. Well, here it is almost 8 years later, and they still do not have a full-time SWAT team. He had asked me what I intended to do with that SWAT team had it been set up, because I was shortly afterwards and telling them what I would do with it. I was transferred to patrol. It's because he wanted a bigger PR unit, his so-called SCORE unit that he doubled when he took office, and he wanted to add 10 additional officers, and he didn't get them. And he got upset that the 10 officers were approved for SWAT. But I told him I would take those officers and I would put them out in the field, that they weren't going to wait for the almighty SWAT call out, and they would be augmenting patrol in the high volume call districts up north, in off the Glen area, off of FM 78, Woodlake Parkway area, and then on the west side off of Culebra and out of Marbach Road, where we had a high call volume and a high crime. And those officers would be sent 4 and 4 to each side of town on both day shift and swing shift, so they could augment patrol and we could have it fully staffed with additional officers. And if we located a suspect that was wanted on a felony warrant, that we would, you know, call in the team and go get them. And if there was no shots fired and it was taken into custody, well, those officers would return and finish out their shift in the district and help in patrol. But here it is all these years later, and it's still not up in a, and running as a SWAT team. He has over probably 60 units assigned to the tag that could be better utilized on patrol. So everybody always has a take-home car. Talk about a waste of money. Patrol is having to double up. They're short-handed out on the street as it is, and it, all it does is cost a longer response time from the sheriff's office, because now you got two officers riding around in one car. So patrol is severely understaffed thanks to Salazar. He could take 40 of those 60 officers that he has at the tag, put them out of patrol, and they'd be bumping into each other out there in the districts. And you could still have the additional 20 officers to stand up your SWAT team. But it's not Salazar's idea, so it's not good.
It's got to be his idea in order for it to be.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know, we've got a real problem, people. We've got a real problem with a sheriff that thinks of politics and party rather than of public safety in general. That's the whole problem.
You're 100% correct. He cares about his image and his ambitions of being an ICE director were squandered when Donald Trump won. He was no longer going to be in consideration. You could see what he was doing there with Kamala, and prior to that with Biden. He really wanted that ICE director's job, and he didn't get it. So now we're, unfortunately, Bexar County is stuck with him, and you know, it was rumored he wanted to be the next police chief because he's out there endorsing the current mayor. So, he doesn't care about the community. All he cares about is Javier Salazar and how far can this get me?
You got it. We're going to have to get you back on again soon, because we need to follow up and get more information about what is going on with this pseudo sheriff.
One last thing, George. I got a call from a patrolman back in 2022, and it's really an officer safety issue. And of course, Salazar not wanting to help out anything to do with immigration. You had a DPS trooper in pursuit of a coyote with numerous illegal aliens in the vehicle, and they wrecked out on Benton City Road. The trooper bailed out and took off after him and ran into the woods. And our patrolman arrived there in a canine unit, and they were told not to exit their vehicle. That's an officer safety issue. What if that trooper had been killed out in those woods? How would those officers have felt, because their hands were being tied? This is totally uncalled for, and it's all by Javier Salazar's direction and orders.
That's incredible. That is really sad. That really, really is. Telling our folks, telling the deputies not to back up a state trooper is really unforgivable. I mean, it's really ridiculous.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
My friend, thank you so much for taking time to be with us. My folks, we've been talking with former and retired law enforcement official Dennis Casillas. Dennis, we got to get you back on sometime soon so we can chat a little bit more about what is happening over at the Bexar County Sheriff's Department.
Absolutely.
You got it.
Thank you for having me.
You got it. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.